Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
We're back in the studio. It has been 1 week since launch. And it's been an awesome week, you guys. We feel super supported. Really excited to just dive into this platform, talk a little bit more openly and honestly with you guys. And so the feedback's been great, both good and bad, positive, negative. We're listening to it all. So I think we got a fun discussion today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our first year of marriage, specifically the first week of our marriage, which was crazy.
Super crazy.
So we thought it'd be fun to just like dive into it. A lot of you guys actually don't know, really haven't like seen much of that year of our life anywhere because we weren't really filming for the show at the time.
And yeah, we were on a little break.
It was kind of before social media being like, obviously Instagram and stuff was around, but there was no like Instagram stories. And yeah. I think Snapchat was like kind of in its infancy.
And I never did Snapchat.
So there wasn't, we just haven't shared a lot like anywhere really about this specific season of our life. And it was like a very crazy season that was also very hard and we learned a ton from. So we thought it'd be fun to just tell some stories and just also talk about.
Yeah, we learned some
really hard things that we learned in our first year of marriage. So
totally. So let's start with like moving to LA. So we decided to move to LA.
First maybe we should tell them why we moved to LA because I think also.
Yeah, we will. We decided to move to LA after we got married. So when we got back from our honeymoon, we moved to LA. And the reason for that was because, you know, there's a couple options on the table. It's either we were going to move back to Hillsborough, Portland area. We were going to move to Santa Barbara where, you know, I went to college and whatnot, or we were going to move. Was Corvallis on? No, we were never going to go there. But
we were going to just like do like somewhere close to Santa Barbara. I mean, you had so much work opportunities in LA. So that's kind of how LA.
Yeah.
And same with San Francisco. It was kind of like anywhere you.
There's a couple reasons we chose LA though. And that was A, business, just like some fun work opportunities there. And
for you.
And for me, yeah. And it also just seemed like an adventure. Mm-hmm. It was like we're so not city people. And it just. I don't know even why. Even now, it's kind of like, it is really wild that we did that.
Well, I think LA, it was really wild and very not characteristic of us to move there. But we did decide that we wanted to move somewhere that wasn't, we wanted to leave home. We wanted to not move home and we wanted to move somewhere that we could make be like,
Hours.
Yeah. Because remember, we always talk about this with like people who are like newlywed getting married and like moving away. Like we always say like, oh, it's so cool to like have the opportunity to like make friends that are your guys' friends together. Because Jer and I were like, you know, long distance for 3 years. We were always pulling each other into each other's worlds. So it was really fun to like.
We both had some strong spheres that we were in. And so if Audrey came to Santa Barbara, it would be like her trying to come just, in like, and fit into world. My world. And likewise, if we came back up here, it would be more of me fitting into kind of Audrey's world.
And both of our families here. And like,
so we wanted to go somewhere that gave us like neutral ground. Start. Like, let's go make friends together. Let's go build our sphere of influence and friends. And so that was a big pull to not specifically LA, but anywhere.
Right. That we just have. Somewhere new.
Yeah, somewhere new.
Yeah. Just to to like figure out like what we wanted in like life, you know, just like going somewhere new and not having the infrastructure, like not having the church that we grew up in and not having the grocery store, you know what I mean? Just like,
yeah, it's kind, adventure, it was kind of a test of who you are and who you're becoming almost. Because when you start over with a blank slate, there's no like real infrastructure to build yourself up on, you know, or there's no bowling lanes to keep you really in lane. You're just left to build a new life. And then that life is usually a byproduct of who you actually are. And so that was really exciting for us, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about that now. It gives you a blank slate. And that's kind of what we wanted, considering 3 years of long distance.
Yeah.
You know, and this would be the first time we ever lived in the same spot together.
Right. We lived in the same city for 1 month before we got married.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
So, yeah. But yeah, okay, we just thought it would be fun to kind of start this podcast off by telling the story of our first day of marriage. I guess it wasn't our first day of marriage, but...
Because our honeymoon.
So it was like...
After our honeymoon.
After honeymoon bliss.
We came back and then we drove.
We drove our U-Haul.
Yep.
From...
Here. From the farm. All the way to...
West Hollywood,
Los Angeles.
Yes. So, yeah, so we... Oh, and also just to backtrack a little bit. So I did get a job in LA after we kind of decided like that's where Jeremy had good work opportunities and was still close to Santa Barbara, where he had other work opportunities too. I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to look for a job in LA, just a business job, use my degree.
Yeah.
And so I just started applying for jobs and I got this job working for Gallo. It's like one of the biggest wine and spirits distributors in the world. And it was a really great job opportunity. And so I accepted it. And so then that's why we ended up specifically in West Hollywood, in LA. Anyways, so yeah, we moved to West Hollywood. Jer found this apartment while he was still living in Santa Barbara.
142.5.
Yeah, 142.5 Northwest Swall.
Northwest Swall.
Oh, Northwall. It was literally
Northwall, yeah.
If you live in Los Angeles or have been to Los Angeles, it was right behind Cedar Sinai, like the giant hospital.
What's the restaurant that's right next to it?
And the Madeo.
The Madeo
Italian restaurant.
Yeah. So we were across the street from the Madeo.
We could walk to Santa Monica and Beverly Boulevard.
Yeah. So we were like in the thick of it. If you're gonna do LA, do LA. And that's kind of what we thought. And so we got a nice little bungalow, second story above some crazy neighbors, and
we had this lot next to us, this like empty vacant lot. Remember that?
Oh yeah. It was
so we were
it
like
it was a vacant and empty, but hardly vacant yeah, and empty. Yeah,
exactly. I remember like waking up in the morning
homeless
and
people
just
getting
seeing,
chased
like,
out.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, so yeah, we drove the U-Haul, pulled up, parked a U-Haul out front of our
Yeah, we're like covering three driveways, you know, in LA people don't like that and dogs are peeing on our tires and yes. it was like the scene, right? Cuz we rented too big of a U-Haul
and we towed our car, so we had the U-Haul
trailer
and towing my Jetta, right?
Man, that it was
our
like,
Jetta, sorry, my B.
It's kind of a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, it was nuts.
But anyway, so we pulled up and we started unloading.
Yeah, so the first thing to unload was our giant mattress because that's what we put in the back to like put down as padding.
No, you put that, yeah, on the top.
Or on the top,
or
yeah.
Or it's the last thing that goes in to hold all the random stuff together.
And we were in the second story of this apartment complex, a little small four-unit complex. And so we started carrying it in, and I was carrying it in. I was like walking backwards so that you would have more of the weight when we went up the stairs.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really see where I was going. And I rolled my ankle hard on this little curb pathway that we were walking on up to our front door. And
first thing we're unloading.
Drop the mattress, like scream out in pain. And I mean, it was like a hard roll, hurt bad. And I've rolled my ankle a lot just being a distance runner. And I instantly just knew like that was a bad one. That wasn't good. And it hurt so bad. And I was basically out. Like first thing we unloaded from the U-Haul. And I'm like, okay, Jer, we don't know anyone that lives here. And like, it's 7 p.m. and you have to get the rest of this stuff unloaded from the U-Haul and bring it into our apartment.
Yeah.
And be able to return the U-Haul before the U-Haul place closes.
Or before our windshield looked like a sun reflector from parking tickets.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we did. Well, yeah, because we didn't. So anyways, jumping ahead, but so I got an Uber.
So
was Uber a thing?
Ultimately, though, it was impossible. There's no way I could unload this. So we ended up calling someone someone that we knew in LA. Who was it?
Steve Piedermeier.
Steve Piedermeier. And he was
he didn't even live there.
He just does ministry there. So he knows a bunch of guys, not a bunch of people. And so he's like, hey guys, head to this address. We're unloading a U-Haul. And next thing you know, there's like five guys that showed up. And we had the U-Haul unloaded in 30 minutes.
Meanwhile, I'm just sitting upstairs
telling people where to put stuff.
Icing my foot and like, and then, yeah. So then, but then you got it all unloaded.
Yep.
And then did I leave then? Or were you still unloading it when I went to the urgent care?
No, then we went to the urgent care.
You didn't go with me though.
Oh.
So I think you were still unloading and I went to the urgent care.
Okay.
Because I went to the urgent care. I remember I went by myself because then I came back and I told you the news and you were like, oh crap.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went to the urgent care because I basically was like, I know that this is not good because I didn't have any swelling, and when you don't have swelling when you roll your ankle, it's a bad sign. And so I went to the urgent care and I had fractured my foot in two places. And so they gave me crutches and came back to the apartment, told Jer. It was my right foot, so I couldn't drive. And I was supposed to start my job the next morning, like the morning after we moved to LA and unloaded the U-Haul. I was supposed to start my job, and my job was working in sales. And so essentially like 50% of my job was driving from account to account. And I was not able to drive. So had to call my employer and be like, broke my foot, moving in, and I needed to delay my start date. The doctor said like 2.5 months, so couldn't start my job.
Yeah. So give them the quick rundown of like all that's going on at this point.
So
broken foot, we're parking tickets, internet isn't working.
Yeah. Oh, no. Internet is the least of our worst. We had no water, no power, no electricity, no gas, no anything. We had nothing.
And for some reason, it
wasn't working.
Yeah, they had to like call the city to come out and like switch some valve that got. To this day, I don't know what the problem was, but they couldn't just turn it on.
None of our utilities worked.
None of our utilities worked.
And so we were like, "Well, crap, we can't just like where? What are we gonna do?" Like, so we went to. We didn't even stay there our first night. Nope. We just jumped our stuff.
So then we just drove to a hotel, which was by LAX.
Yeah. Well, hold on. We were Googling the hotels in the area where we lived, and we're like, we can't stay at any of these hotels. It's a fortune.
Like
so we
bucks.
Drove all the way to this cheap hotel by the LAX airport.
Yeah.
Embassy Suites.
So we're sitting in traffic, our stuff's in boxes and some apartment that doesn't work, and Audrey's foot's broken.
We had to leave the U-Haul. There overnight.
We're already about $150 deep in parking tickets. Yeah.
And then you had to the next morning drive to Santa Barbara to shoot a wedding with Ty.
Oh my goodness.
So you left.
I like somehow got all my camera gear rassled. Yeah. Then I drove to Santa Barbara the next morning, left Audrey at the hotel where you literally sat all day and just wondered how this is the start of our marriage.
Yeah.
And
like, and can't I went start my job, filmed a
wedding.
Walk.
I remember that Jared's wedding gone. Too.
I don't know anyone here. No one can come hang out. Yeah, you filmed that wedding. You didn't get back, or you were there overnight, or did you drive back for me?
I think you drove back for me. Yeah.
Yeah. You drove all the way back. I remember.
Yeah, I was late. I remember that.
And then we were supposed, we were like hopeful that we'd be able to move in or like get the utilities up and running in our apartment the next day, but it took a week. We were at that hotel for a week.
Yeah. So then we finally, that was a super.
No, and then we were there for a week, and then our landlord felt bad. And was like, I'm so sorry. Because remember we called her and we're like, can you comp our hotel stay? She was like, oh, yes, I'm so sorry. And then she offered us to stay at her house.
Oh, yeah.
And we went and stayed at her house.
So then we went and stayed a night or two at her house.
Which was crazy.
Which was up in some hill somewhere or other.
We pull up to this driveway with like these massive lion sculptures.
Yeah, it was like some like chic palace.
Huge mansion house. And we were staying in this like guest suite.
Yeah, she's like, you stay above the garage. We're like, okay.
And we're like, where are we right now? So that was crazy. And then
she loved us though.
Remember? Finally, we got our first. We were eating like McDonald's every day, like no, you know what I mean? Like we had no.
Yeah, like don't Instagram this type food status. Yeah.
And then we finally were able to have our first night in our place because we had at least like power and water, electricity and all that.
Yeah.
And then I remember we were like, okay, well, we can't cook. Our stuff was also in boxes. We hadn't unpacked anything. We're like, okay, well, we can't cook anything. So let's just walk to go. Let's just walk to the closest restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
So we started walking. Oh, I was crutching.
Yeah.
And we looked grunge.
Oh, we were
we are so nasty. So grunge. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That like, we were like starting to unpack that day. So we were like sweaty.
I
wish
Portland,
we had a picture. If we have a picture, no I'll find shave, it and put
November,
it on our Insta stories.
Females included, granola, grungy.
Yeah. And we're walking through Beverly Hills, crutching. Yeah.
So then we turn the corner and we walk to the closest restaurant, which was...
We were like, oh, this place
that flower
looks cute.
Place.
The Ivy.
The Ivy. There's like a Lambo out front and a Ferrari.
We didn't
like,
know. We didn't know though. We were like, oh, this place
oh,
looks
yeah, we
cute.
Had no
it looks
idea.
Like a McMinimums because it was like
it was
covered
cute.
In grass. It looked like the yeah. place is
so
like.
So we stroll in, so like, oh, sit yeah. down, peek at the menu and we're like, oh.
Jaw drop.
And then we started looking around and,
we just laugh
like,
at each other and we're like,
yeah.
We're like, should we get up and leave because we can't afford this or should we just like. Talk. Laugh and treat ourselves
yeah,
because we've had a rough week.
Because we've had a rough go. So we chose option B, had a nice dinner. I think we even had a glass of wine. Yeah. Cheers to the beginning of our marriage.
Yeah.
And
remember the guy gave us, it was almost like out of sympathy maybe, but the guy, our waiter gave us free cookies. I don't know if they yeah. even, maybe they do this for everyone. Who knows?
I don't know.
But I remember we thought it was the coolest thing because there was a note that was like, enjoy these cookies at home. They were like in a little box and we were like,
yeah, that was cute. It was either them saying, like, don't come back, or them saying, yeah, like...
You don't belong here. No.
No, so we had our circumstances kind of put us... We had every reason to be mad at life, mad at each other, and just frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But we had the best...
First year
of marriage, or even that first like week mm-hmm. was yeah one of the toughest weeks we've ever gone through, but we were just so joyful through it all.
And we were so like, we did not take being together for granted because we'd done 3 years long distance. We were finally together, so even if it was like something really hard, we were doing it together.
Yeah.
And so it was like that made it
totally and bearable. I'm a firm believer that, you know, circumstances do not define the status of your relationship, but they actually bring out mm-hmm. the quality of it. And I feel like Audrey and I spent a lot of time and energy preparing. We say this all the time on Beating mm-hmm. 50%, preparing for our marriage rather than our wedding.
Mm, more for our marriage than our wedding, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. More for our marriage than our wedding. And so we had like months of just thoughts and preparation and conflict resolution strategies and just marriage preparation that
we felt ready for it. We were ready.
I don't
take
know
it
if
off.
We felt ready for it, but when trials came,
so true,
we reacted because we prepared.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And I just think a lot of people they lose control because of they let their circumstances control them instead of realizing that all circumstances are doing is just kind of proving who you are and like your character, and it's actually kind of a mirror, right? Mm. Yeah, then there's that one quote that I love that, you know, what was it? It's a man's character is seen by how he reacts under pressure or something like that. I can't quite remember what it is, but it's something like that. And, you know, the concept is, you know, circumstances can give us pressure and how we react to the circumstances is kind of the, you know, the testing of your character.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
yeah, and
that was a big lesson for us. I mean, in hindsight's 2020. And so right now we're looking back at this. We just thought we'd tell this story because like we were thinking about it the other day and we're like, nobody knows about this. We've never posted this on social media. This is total, you know, behind the scenes style content. TV show wasn't filming us then. We were on like a little break.
Because it's all Zach and Tori's wedding
stuff. But so it was the hardest time. You know,
well,
of our marriage.
And then it
and
got
it was
harder.
The first couple weeks, and
it got harder because we had, in hindsight, I will say, I think it was kind of a blessing that because I broke my foot, because then I couldn't work that job, even though Jeremy was working and like driving all over LA to like do these shoots and stuff and like find these gigs and do the commercial photography thing. We still got to spend a lot of time together, and that was really sweet for us. You know, like I remember like just we got to be together a lot and we rode around on the motorcycle, even with my broken foot, and like explored LA and
Yeah, we did a lot of fun stuff.
Did the cheapest things we could find to do in LA. And like, you know, it was just like, it was just a sweet time for us. But then when I did start my, okay, so then finally I get cleared to drive. Cass is off. Yeah. I'm ready to start my job.
Yeah.
The night before I'm supposed to start my job, break out in hives, allergic reaction. We go to Cedar Sinai.
At that point, I was like,
bad choice to go to Cedar Sinai.
Like, who is this? Like, this, what's going on?
It was like so discouraging because I was just like, what's going on with my body? And like, just,
you guys, we went
stress. And
yeah,
like,
stress and all that.
Anyways, had an allergic reaction to something. Still to this day, don't know what it was. They gave me an EpiPen in case I had it again. But I had hives like everywhere. I like couldn't swallow. We were in the ER all night. Had to call my boss again. And they're probably thinking like, who is this girl? Like, why did we hire her? Like, she's basically called to not come to work full times that she's supposed to start. And then we were up the yin yang in medical bills from Cedar Sinai for...
You guys... We went to Cedar Sinai for one night, not even a night. It was like 2 hours we were there.
Yeah.
And we got bills for 3 years.
Yeah. It was the stupidest.
I'm like, how does this even work? What the heck's going on here?
Yeah. And all they did was like, give me an EpiPen and something for the inflammation.
It was one of the most frustrating, I don't want to call it a legal battle, but just medical issue. It was so annoying. Like every... Yeah. Couple months there'd be some bill for some,
and we were also getting bills for my freaking for the foot thing because we went to the Beverly Hills urgent care for my broken foot, like, still. And I think that some of this might have been spiritual attack because we're newlyweds, and you know, we'd done so much to prepare for like protecting our marriage, and I don't think Satan is creative, and he's not. And what easier way for him to attack a newlywed couple than through health and finances? It's just...
Yeah. And that's not to say it was all, you know, spiritual attack, it would be, we would be naive not to think that he's definitely on mission to attack our marriage. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. I think it was, you know, just, we really were thrown through the ringer those first few months and tested. And I think it could have been a testing of our faith too, just like the Lord testing us as well. Things, it could have been a combination of both things, but there's obviously more going on than just, you know, Audrey has health problems,
bad luck,
or is clumsy. more to the story, you know, always more to the story.
So back to the story.
Anyways, so then whatever, delay my start day one day, but then I start my job. Okay, guys, this is the job that I worked. I woke up at 2:30 every single day and drove from where we lived in West Hollywood to Pasadena, which, like, if you know LA, that's far, and especially far because of LA traffic. And the reason why I commuted to Pasadena was because in the time that I had accepted the job and actually did start my job because of the broken foot and everything, I was placed in a new territory. And so I had to now commute every single day. Okay, reason why I had to wake up at 12:30 was because I was selling wine and spirits into these grocery stores at dark 30 in the morning and setting up these like alcohol displays and basically trying to suck up to these liquor store and grocery store managers who were mean. Like, I'm sorry, but they were just mean. They hated their lives.
Yeah.
And they were so, and then I was the only female in my territory that was doing this job. So like there was a bunch of other like wine and spirit competitors, but I was the only female. Anyways, they were mean to me. They would like hide my backpack. They would like steal my stuff so I couldn't do my job, and I'd spend hours in the grocery store.
And keep in mind, this is at like 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah, so I worked 2:30 to, or I got to my first account at like 3, and then I worked until 1 p.m. and drove home. It took me like an hour, sometimes an hour and a half to get home. And then Jer would leave at like 5 or 6 to go do shoots because it was always in the evening. So he would be gone sometimes, not always, but like
not
sometimes.
Always. I did a couple
he'd
of those.
He'd be gone, or he'd be home.
But I would wake up with you.
But yeah, you did wake up with me. And
I'd walk
sometimes
to Starbucks.
You went to the Starbucks
and I'd
bring
for her me. Coffee. Yeah, and then
the only 24-hour Starbucks. And
then she'd be able to go, you know.
It was gothic. And then Jer worked weekends. He was gone like literally for like, he would go to Texas or Santa Barbara or wherever they were shooting weddings on the weekends. So the first year of our marriage, we were like ships in the night. We barely saw each other. So that's why I say like it was kind of sweet that those first 2 months, even though the hardship, but like me breaking my foot allowed us to have that time because we didn't get time after that for like
totally
the rest of the time we were in LA, you know?
Yeah. And then it was during this like ships in the night kind of, you know, time or season, let's say, mm-hmm. that we really started to think about or consider the possibility of working together.
Mm-hmm. Because we were like, what are we doing?
Like, yeah, we're like, this is hard. This is not like, fun. There's got to be a better way, a better option. So then we started kind of dreaming about some stuff and talking about Audrey's blog that was kind of dormant at the time, mm-hmm. and just talking about what, you know, patterns I see in the film industry and photo industry and mm-hmm. the rise of social media at the time, and just we just started analyzing
our passion for writing
and
relationships.
And so it was during this valley that we started to imagine like some heights, mm-hmm. let's say. And it really was kind of the catalyst for everything we're really kind of doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I didn't think about that.
No, absolutely. I think.
Yeah. At some point we'll do a full podcast about just the start, like, you know, how to mm-hmm. start. Yeah. I think that'd be really good.
Totally.
How we started, you know, mm-hmm. why we started everything and just kind of some nitty gritty how to's, I guess. That'd be really good.
Yeah.
But.
Totally. But yeah, I mean, we thought sharing these stories, we wanted to share these stories with you because A, like Jess said, you never shared any of this before. And B, it is to show you guys like, we had like a really hard first year of marriage.
Yeah, like, some people have said like, oh, it's just always so easy, you know, and this and that. And you guys, there's never a trial, but like mm-hmm. we all have trials. Everyone has trials. Yeah. And just because someone else's trials might look different than yours, doesn't mean they're any less or more mm-hmm. difficult for them.
Yeah.
You know, and so we thought, hey, we had a really tough first week. And so let's share about that. And really just to get the point across, I guess the big lesson that Audrey and I walk away from our first month of marriage or a couple weeks of marriage is kind of
here.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like
the whole year was
those jobs
really tough
and living in LA. I mean, it's just
but what so we really weird. Walked away with, babe, I feel is just this, like I mentioned earlier, this sense of like our circumstances do not have power over who we are mm-hmm. and why we do what we do.
Yeah.
Right. Like there are certain truths claimed about us. And if we have the Holy Spirit and, you know, we have a heart of peace and we have, you know, a sound mind and there's all of these truths, you know, and we left that year, I feel like really pressing into the idea that we're not going to let any circumstance strip us of our truths.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of the big lesson I feel like I learned from that season. And even now, right? Well, something will happen. Circumstances will be really tough, but we do our best. It's hard, right? We're not perfect all the time, but like we do our best to remember and realize like this is just a circumstance I'm faced with. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's who I am. Doesn't have the power to change my character. I'm going to, you know, stand up straight and represent Christ through the positives and the negatives. Mm. Sorry to get on a little rant here.
No,
but
that's so good, babe. Yeah, totally.
That's just, I thought, that's the lesson I learned.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah.
I 100% agree with that. And I think part of the reason that we were able to do that, like able to see past our circumstances was, like you said, the foundation that we had built going into marriage.
Totally.
But also just, I would say like, our marriage journal helped so much in that first year of just being the communication tool that we needed to not let our circumstances pin each other against each other.
Yeah.
And we doing that journal every single week that first year, no matter what, like was like a saving grace for us. And
yeah, that's true.
I just think that was part of that always kind of just like brought us home, you know, like it just kind of like realigned us and like,
yeah.
And just like helped us believe that we're on the same team and communicate about
also
the hard
like,
stuff that was going on.
Just being also just like being newly married, you know, we were able to say like, okay, this is really, really tough circumstance, but mm-hmm. I still need to learn you because you're a complete stranger, you know, technically.
Right.
So like what's, you know, what brought you joy this week? What was mm-hmm. hard? Or like, anyways, what's a dream, craving, desire? It was just really good. I do
remember
that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was one thing that like,
yeah,
really.
If you guys in the marriage, really the marriage journal is, we kind of mentioned this in the first episode, but if you go to just themarriagejournal.com, it's just a journal of that Audrey and I built, for communication. It helps you connect, communicate, and grow in love with your spouse each week. It's a communication tool. Mm-hmm. And it's phenomenal. I encourage you to go read some of the reviews and it's good, but that's where you can check it out.
I think, and I mean, I don't know if this is necessarily something that we learned, but something that I'm thankful we had to combat the hard circumstances in that first year was just community and friends.
You mean like new friends, right?
Yeah.
We found a really fun, we were hanging out with a really fun group of people. Yeah. LA crew, we miss you guys. Yeah. If you're listening to this,
I know.
Send us a text.
Like those friends to us are just so sweet and we will always cherish them because they were our first friends.
Yeah.
Like they were the first friends that like we both met them together. And they, yeah, like,
they,
it wasn't like
they didn't know the history of Audrey. Before. They didn't know the history of Jeremy. There was no pre-Aj, pre-Jer, pre-marriage. It was just, that's Jer and Aj.
Yep.
And that was special.
And they also didn't know, like, most of them didn't know really about the show. Like, no one in LA cared about
it. Yeah, they kind of knew about it, but
no one cared. Reality
TV is kind of small fish in LA.
Yeah. Those friendships were really sweet and just finding that, you know, community with people there. It was, we basically started looking for a church and because we were like, we got to find other young married couples in LA. Where are they?
Yeah.
Well, there's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I think it was just hard for us to find other married couples and especially other married couples that were believers that would challenge us in our faith and hold us accountable while we lived in this, you know, crazy city.
Yeah. So I think another thing about our first year of marriage that was really important was we were just like we were intentional to prepare for our marriage. You know, we were also pretty intentional among all these trials to establish rhythms and habits.
Just building healthy habits.
Building healthy habits. Yeah. Because like when you starting anything is a beautiful time, right? Because that's when you get in your rhythms and you get in your habits.
It sets the stage. It sets for the stage. To come, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Like, you know, when you're running, when you're like training for a marathon or whatever, like the habits you, once you're like really excited and you're in it and, oh, yeah, we're finally married or I'm signed up, I'm going to do this marathon. Like how you live your next 2 weeks is really going to set the stage for how you train and ultimately how you complete the race, right? So should we talk about some of our habits?
Well, I mean, I'd say one of the habits obviously was the marriage journal, but also just like we went to bed together. Even when I was going to bed at 7:30, we went to bed together.
Yeah, that's really hard. That was really
not
hard.
Not always.
We were only able to do
time.
That because I was freelancing and I was able to go to bed.
Like, most of the time though, and you didn't always, and you were out of town.
And there was a season when we didn't,
right?
But it was on our mind to do that all the, like as much as we can. We try to be on the same schedule
and like kissing goodnight. And
yeah,
you always saw me off in the morning, even if you went back to bed. Like, you know, whether you got up to edit or you went back to bed, you always woke up and said goodbye to me when I was getting ready in the dark and putting on my bra backwards and my shirt backwards and driving to this job trying to look professional.
Yeah,
like you always said goodbye. And I think that was just a healthy rhythm, like healthy foundation for our marriage is just waking up and saying good morning and just acknowledging each other. And
totally. Because once you start doing that, you know, then you can always tell yourself like, or when you start stopping to do that, you know,
you're less likely to stop though, because it's a habit.
Yes.
It just becomes a habit.
But you also notice like, oh, I'm stopping.
Right.
Okay. I've got to get back on. I've got to keep doing that. And it just keeps you in the healthy rhythm, which, you know, goes back to that Timothy Keller quote, I think it was, our culture says that feelings of love are the basis for actions of love. And of course that can be true, but isn't it truer to say that actions of love can lead consistently to feelings of love? Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite Timothy Keller quotes.
So good.
And that whole idea is like when you feel yourself starting to fall out of the actions of love, you know, then there's cause for an alarm. And then it's no wonder your feelings of love disappear. That's why habits are so important, because they keep you in the rhythm of doing love, showing love, the action of love.
Right.
But to not have habits, I think, is to plan to fail. For sure.
Yeah, babe, that's good. But I also think, you know, there are some things in our first year of marriage that were unhealthy habits that we developed too.
Like yeah, just for sure.
Unhealthy habits around our phone use and social media and eating and not working out, just health habits. Just there were
personal
some things.
Personal care was, yeah.
You know, it's tough. Not to say that we had all these healthy habits that got us through, but we had unhealthy habits too.
Totally. Both sides, you know, to the story.
We can talk about those in other podcasts.
Yeah, we'll dive into all that side maybe a different time.
But yeah, we're not saying by any means that, like, you know, we had all the habits in place to set us up for
life. We're still figuring them out. So. I think the whole habit conversation, that'll be a really good one to have on here at some point. Just what we're doing, because this is, you know, the art of rhythm was this year, right? We already talked about that. So that'll be really good to dive
so many
deeper
habits
into, because I feel like I eat that up, right? Like there's a lot of people that have been talking about the habit stuff, and I'm always paying attention because it's so important.
Right.
So it'd be good for us to
share. And this year has been a year of like starting so many new habits.
Yes.
So it'd be interesting to talk about that. Yeah, it's good.
Well, roses and thorns and roses.
Yeah, we're going to do the thorns first this time because don't want to end on the sad note. Yeah. Always going to try to remember to do that.
All right, babe, what is your thorn for the week?
So my thorn was just, honestly, like this week has been just so much, like really hard week, full of just like really good, exciting things. But I felt like a little bit just robbed from some of the excitement and joy because it was just a lot of pressure and stress. And like, you know, over the weekend, I broke down crying to you multiple times and felt like I hadn't showered in literally a week and was growing a dreadlock in my bun and like forgot to order inventory for Always More for Christmas. And just like, I just feel like I
forgot
dropped the ball
2 days in a row.
Yeah. I just feel like I dropped the ball in like so many different areas. And I've just been like really critical of you lately and like stayed up too late working. And so it's just, I feel like it all kind of like got to me, was just really getting to me this week and like just making my attitude poor.
So funny because, like, you know,
I know it's my own fault.
Well, yeah. And this is what we're trying to hedge against with habits, you know, and rhythms. And this is kind of, but it's always, you know, a work in progress. And we don't want to be the people that say we have it all figured out. But I think your thorn is definitely growing pains because we've been doing really good, but we're not quite there yet, you know. But every time there's a pain, it points you in a better direction. So it's good, but
totally. Yeah. So that was my thorn. Just, you know, just the pressure and feeling like a failure.
Yeah.
When I know it's not true and I'm putting a lot of the pressure on my own self. So what's your thorn, babe?
Yeah. My thorn. What was my thorn?
I don't know. What's your thorn?
I don't know. I think my thorn, probably is just the not being done with the book edits. Like it's just, it's been this like kind of nagging thing in the back of our brain. And, you know, the podcast is super great. We've put a lot of energy and effort and work and building the team and all that into this. And when you do that, you know, we sacrificed on the other end of stuff. But I just, now we're past due and
feeling, you know, the pressure of that.
Feeling the pressure of that has been kind of this nagging thing in the back of my brain. So that's my thorn. What's your rose?
What's your rose? I have a feeling it's going to be the same.
Launching the podcast. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been super fun. The launch was awesome. Again, love you guys. Yeah. Appreciate it. So
cool to see that, you know, our podcast after just launching hit number 7 on all podcasts.
Yeah. Like, and that's you guys.
We had no idea that would be a thing.
And number one in category. I think it's still number one in category right now, which is pretty cool. So
awesome. Thing.
Yeah.
We're really grateful for you guys. Thank you guys so much for like just your encouragement on social media and reaching out and your reviews. We've read them and like they're just so affirming and encouraging to us. So thank you guys.
We feel super encouraged. So, all right. Well, I think that'll wrap episode 5 up of Behind the Scenes Podcast. Guys, thanks for listening. Again, please leave a review.
Yeah.
We've been reading them and super great. It helps out the new podcast as well. So we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.